In 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country, and nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded."
Appreciate the reading from Brother Anderson just a moment ago. And the words that we have heard, perhaps you can see our nation just like the nation of Israel many years ago. After a while, we find ourselves in a great need to understand who God is and what he expects of us. And we need a good leader to carry us in the right direction. Of course, we find that Asa, back a chapter ago in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, was a good king, that he began to do what was right in the sight of the Lord. But, as always, we can start doing something good, and we often need a fellow encouragement. We need a reminder. We need somebody or someone to tell us, let's continue in the right path. If we do so, we know that much good will be accomplished. But if we do not, we will have to suffer the consequences. And I'd like for us to focus on the words that Azariah spoke as the Spirit of God came upon him and the things that Asa heard. We find from the very beginning, he said that the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. These words will ring true even today. Just as Paul taught the Romans in chapter 15 and in verse 4, the things that were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And we need to learn, did Asa remember those very words? We must learn that we must draw near unto God. You see, those very words ring true even to us as Christians. When we fast forward to the New Testament, we learn in the book of James, there in chapter 4 and in verse 8, that James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's what we all need to learn. At one point, yes, our sins have separated us from God, but there is something that we can do, that we can draw near unto God by having our sins washed away. That's why a little while ago we observed the Lord's Supper, that Jesus sacrificed his body, that he shed his sinless blood that our sins could be taken away. That's why he offered him sacrifice upon the cross. And that's why we must look to him and do the things that he has commanded, that we too can be reconciled unto him. He is not very far to find. In fact, he asks us to seek after him. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, Remember that even Jesus said, "Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Are we truly looking unto God? He may easily be found. All we have to do is look around us, and we can see that there is a God that we cannot see that has made all the things that we can see. We can even find a book that tells us who God is and what He has done for us and what He expects us to do for Him. That is the Bible. That book is readily available anywhere and everywhere. If we truly look, yes, we will truly find. But as Azariah also said, that if we forsake Him, He will forsake us. If we confess Jesus, He will confess us. But if we deny Him, indeed He will deny us. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 10, there in verse 32, records these very words that Jesus spoke. He says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Are we going to confess that we truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Or are we going to deny Him? If we deny Him now, we'll have to appear before Him in the day of judgment. And each one will have to give account of ourselves unto God. And at that time, every eye will see Him, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But only then it will be too late. You see, Paul had even warned the young man Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 12 that this is a faithful saying, that if we endure, we shall also reign with Him. But if we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we forsake Him, He will forsake us. But rather let us draw near to Him, and He will draw near to us. If we are to draw near unto God, we need the proper leadership. We need someone to show us the right way. Just as Azariah had said back in verse 3 of our text, that a long time Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. Can you imagine what it would be like to be without God? Can you imagine if we were to continue being without God? We need to learn about the true God. We need someone willing to tell us. Well, God has already told us Himself. He has left us His word that we can follow. There have been many sent that Jesus told to go out and to preach the gospel. And that is what we must do even today. And you know, there were those back in that day and time that were willing to go out and tell. And that's why they were reminded of where they are and also where they could be. For example, the prophet Hosea said in chapter 3, beginning in verse 4, that the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or without prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. And afterward the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. There would come a time in which they would return unto the Lord. And if they were to return, there had to be someone to lead them. Someone that truly knows who God is. You see, there is one and only one true God. Azariah was reminding Asa, Israel has been without the true God. There have been many false gods that people invented to bow down and to worship, but they cannot do what God Almighty is able to do. Paul teaches us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6 that there is one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. This one God that is above all can do anything and everything, a lot more than what many false gods can even dare to do. And thus Jesus acknowledges that He is the only true God. In His prayer in the Gospel of John in chapter 17, you remember those truthful words there in verse 3. When Jesus said this as He was praying to His Father, He prayed, "This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." God is the only true God, and He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus could do things that no one else could do. And when others would see Jesus, they would say, "Truly, this is the Son of God." And the miracles that He performed, the words that He spoke, proved indeed that there is a true God in heaven, and Jesus is His witness. Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh. Today, we can come to the same conclusion, just as Jesus tried to get us to believe in that which also the Apostle Paul recognized. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he acknowledged in verse 4, "Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one." An idol is nothing, but God is something. He is everything. He is my all, perhaps, as we often sing. And as this is who God is, we need to be aware of Him, and we need to follow His commands. And thus there has to be someone to teach us His commands. Azariah says also that for a long time Israel has been without a teaching priest. You recall that one of the duties of the priest was to teach the law of God, to help the people understand what it is that God expects of them. Well, for a while, there were things that this was not taught. But there is at least one good individual that was willing to do just that. In the book of 2 Kings, there in chapter 12, we read, beginning in verse 1, that in the 7th year of Jehu, Jehoash became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah Beersheba, and Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. You see, there was a priest that instructed the king, "This is the way of the Lord. This is what you need to know. This is what you need to do." And as long as he was taught, he did what was right. Well, you fast forward today. Are people doing what is right in the sight of the Lord? Perhaps many are not, because they do not know what is right in the sight of the Lord. They need someone to teach them. And just as the priest taught in the Old Testament, you know, God expects His priests to teach today. And who are God's priests? Well, that's you and that's me. We as Christians are the priests of God. You remember what Peter taught us in 1 Peter chapter 2? There in verse 5, he says that you as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God through Jesus Christ. Later in verse 9, he says, that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Christians are a royal priesthood. We are God's servants, and it is up to us to be able to teach the law of the Lord. You find that the elders of the Lord's church, the qualification that they must meet is being able to teach. And Paul lists these qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1. But you know, these qualifications are not for elders alone. They're also for all members of the body of Christ, such as you and me. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, there and in verse 24, notice the Apostle Paul said, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, be able to teach, to be patient. Any servant of the Lord must be able to teach. I'm sure we can all remember those that have taught us, that we've learned a great deal from, and perhaps we can think of many others that we are willing to teach. Do we teach our children, our grandchildren? For a while, there were those in the Old Testament were commanded to do so, that the people would remember the Lord, to know Him, and to walk in His ways. God expects the same of us even today. We also find in Titus chapter 2 that the elder are supposed to teach the younger. Men can influence men, and women can influence women, and there are things that we can all learn together to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But then we also find that if there is not one to teach, there is nothing that will be taught. For a long time, Israel has been without the law. And that was something that was very important for the people to know. If you look back with me now to the book of Leviticus, there in chapter 10, you would find that as the book of Leviticus were written to priests, we find, yes, it was their duty to teach the law. In Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 11, they were told that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses. They needed to teach who? All the children of Israel. Each and every one of them. We all need to learn, what did God say? Well, as they were given the instruction to teach, we know that, yes, there were those that went out and followed it. Later in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 17, there beginning in verse 7, we're told this, that also in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethanel, and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Asahel, Shemarmoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tobadonijah, the Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram the priests. So they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and they went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. They went everywhere, teaching everyone the law of the Lord. Are we still doing that today? You know, there are a lot of people that need to know what the law of the Lord is, because the law gives us a very important purpose. That purpose is found in the book of Romans. There in chapter 3 and in verse 20, Paul tells us exactly what that purpose is. In Romans chapter 3 and in verse 20, Paul writes, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Law tells us that, yes, we have sinned. And just a little bit later, in verse 23 of Romans chapter 3, Paul says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why the law needs to be taught. We all need to realize our spiritual condition. We're lost. We are without Christ. That's exactly what we need to know. But then we begin to know that there is good news. There's something we can do about that. The Apostle Paul tells us what we can do as he says what the purpose of the law is. Look with me now to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and I'd like for us to begin looking in verse 27. Because each and every one of us are mentioned in this text. Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 22. Paul says, "But the Scripture hath confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." You hear him say that the Scripture has confined you, the Scripture has confined me, that we are together all under sin. And that's what we need to learn. Therefore, when I realize that I have lived in my sin, I've got to come to the conclusion that there's something that I've got to do about my sin. Well, what can I do? Well, there is one that had already done something for you. And Paul mentioned in this very text, we must have faith in who? Jesus Christ. Well, what was so good about Jesus Christ? Jesus was the one that knew no sin. Neither was any guile found in his mouth. And by doing no sin, he offered himself as a sacrifice that could take away our sins. He did his part. He died on the cross and shed his sinless blood. He was buried and risen again the third day according to the Scriptures to give us all that hope of eternal life. But we are not justified by law, but as Paul says here in verse 24 of Galatians chapter 3, we are justified by faith. The law brings us unto Christ, and each and every one of us must have faith in Christ. The book of Hebrews says in chapter 11 and verse 6 that without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But just because I believe in him, I have faith, is not enough, because James teaches us in the second chapter that faith without works is dead, being alone. Well, how do I show my faith? Well, in verse 26, Paul goes on to say, "You were all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You see, I learned that by what Christ has done for me, there is something I must do for him. I must be baptized so that my sins would be remitted. And how would I know that unless I have heard the word of the Lord? And how can I hear unless one preach that word? And how can one preach that word unless one has been sent? You can read about that in Romans chapter 10, but perhaps you can better remember the words of Jesus Christ. When Jesus in the Great Commission said to his very apostles in Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Yes, there is a great need today. People are without the true God. They're without someone to teach them the law of the Lord, and thus they are without God's law. But what if we were just to leave it all here? Well, you would see the dire situation that our country could be in. Just as we've read in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, the rest of the story in verse 6, nation was destroyed by nation, and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. Trouble would be around us on each and every side. But instead, as Azariah concluded his words upon Asa, he says in verse 7 of 2 Chronicles 15, but you be strong, and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. If we are to do the work of God, yes, we will be rewarded. It takes a lot of work to do what God says for us to do, but you know in the end, it will be well worth it. You remember how Jesus described that reward? He tells us in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 12. Here Jesus says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Yes, there were times in which God's prophets were persecuted, those that told them the words of God. Here is how you need to repent. You need to turn back unto God, and He will turn back to you. But if you forsake Him, here's what's going to come to pass. The same is true even today. How God indeed will take care of us if we do His will, and how eternally we will be punished if we do not do the words of God. But if we do what He says, Jesus said, our reward in heaven is great. Can you imagine what that would be like to have everlasting life, a place that would not fade away and always be with the Lord? That is something I want to look forward to. And in order to do that, I've got to do the will of God. I've got to help one another. Jesus said later in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42, whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. A reward is great. A reward will not be lost. It was one that we will have forever and ever. Well, what kind of reward will we get? Well, that depends on what we do here in this life. Paul explained to those in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there in verse 8, he says that he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Yes, there is a lot of work that needs to be done. And depending on what we do, we will be rewarded. We need some final words of encouragement, and those words need to tell us that our reward is ready and are awaiting us to work and receive it. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 22, here in verse 12, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, ready to give to everyone according to his work. Jesus is ready right now to reward you. Are you ready to work for him and receive that reward? Are we living like those in Israel and in Judah? Are we still searching for God? He is easy to be found. Are we working by teaching others about Him? If so, indeed, your work will be rewarded. But if not, you begin today, right here and right now, as together we stand and sing.